So yes, we are in Elijah this week, one of my favorites. To set the scene for chapter 19, we've got to go back a little bit before. Elijah had enjoyed just a huge success, actually, right before our story that we are focusing on today. He had sparred with the prophets of Baal, the idol that was worshipped by many in the area. Elijah had asked God to ignite a wet altar, and it burst into flames. Meanwhile, the prophets of Baal, they couldn't get a spark lit. They prayed and prayed, but they couldn't get anything. It was a very clear and public victory for the Lord. It was exciting. And then, soon after that, they saw a cloud in the sky. And then that cloud grew to become many clouds, dark clouds, and a heavy rain came. A huge relief for people who'd suffered with 3 years of terrible drought. So things were actually going really well for Elijah, but he didn't really have time to relax and enjoy these victories. Jezebel, the queen, was still not impressed with the God of Israel. And she was very angry that Elijah had ordered the slaughter of her prophets of Baal. She's not happy about that at all. So she told Elijah that she would do the same to him. And Elijah started running. He ran away from his home. He moved from the north down south towards Judah. Then he left his servant there in Judah, and he went on his own out into the desert wilderness. And he sat down under a broom tree there. Jerome T. Walsh says that the broom tree is not really a tree, it's more like a shrub. It's not a great source of shade out in the desert, but out in the desert you take what you can get. It's better than nothing in terms of shade. Elijah is overwhelmed. He has been running, but he can't escape his despair or the hot desert sun. He's alone under this one broom tree, the text tells us. So we have this solitary prophet. He left his only companion. He now sits in the kind of pathetic shade offered by this lone, solitary broom bush. He is completely isolated. So yeah, it was more than a bad day. He had had enough. He'd lost hope. He even prayed for death to come. And God responds to Elijah very gently. Verses 11 through 13, God reveals himself on Mount Horeb. And so we're sort of expecting some powerful display of God's presence here, because that's what we've come to expect of mountaintop experiences. Elijah just saw it on Mount Carmel when he was competing with the prophets of Baal. He's in the same region, in the Mount Sinai area, where Moses met with the Lord and received the commandments all those years ago. And we do have some of those dramatic elements of a good mountaintop experience. We've got powerful wind, check, earthquake, check, and fire. But the scriptures tell us clearly that God was not in the pyrotechnics. God was not in these dramatic displays. This time, sometimes God is, but this time God was not in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. After the fire, it got quiet. And our Bibles use some different wording in verse 12. The New International Version says, gentle whisper. There was a gentle whisper. The Old King James says, still small voice. Literally, it's kind of closest to a thin, silent sound. So I like the New Revised Standard Version the best, perhaps. The sound of sheer silence. And we kind of try to wrap our heads around, what is the sound of silence? But after all of the noise surrounding Elijah, in the successes, in the threats, in the running away, Elijah heard that silent sound, the sound of sheer silence. And he must have known that the Lord was in that silence because he put his cloak over his face and he went to the entrance of the cave, as many people do when they experience the Lord, hide their face. Elijah had seen many spectacular demonstrations of God's power over those last 3 years. He'd seen provision during a terrible drought. He'd seen a boy brought back to life. He'd seen that fire in an answer to his prayers. He'd seen victory in battle, and finally that wonderful rain that they had surely prayed for. So now, when he is in the depths of discouragement, God reveals himself quietly to the lone Elijah. This time, God is in the silence. And I notice three quiet, gentle ways that God meets Elijah in his despair. And we'll look at each one. First, God takes care of his body, starting in verse 5. After praying for death to come, Elijah fell asleep. An angel woke him twice with food and water. And between those meals, Elijah slept more. He was strengthened for a 40-day walk to Mount Horeb. Elijah may have been ignoring his body and his physical needs for 3 years, busy with exciting ministry needs and being zealous for the Lord for at least 3 years. But through the angel, God gently urged Elijah to rest, renew his strength, and then walk for 40 days and nights. Reminded me of a sign in one of the dorms where I went to college. It said, there are a lot of problems that can be solved with a good night's sleep. And the sign was put there by a weary resident assistant who maybe was hoping that her girls would have fewer crises if they'd just go to bed a little bit earlier. And that might seem obvious that it helps to get some sleep, but at my school, you know, late night prayer meetings were popular and early morning prayer meetings were popular, and sometimes the prayer meetings went all night long, in addition to all of the late night studying and socializing that's typical for college life. Sleep? We were far too spiritual for sleep. But God, creator of our bodies, seems to want us to live within the limits of our bodies, and that means time for rest and renewal. That means good food for our bodies and then getting our bodies moving. So the first priority, God meets Elijah's physical needs. Second, God gives Elijah work to do and a partner for that work, starting at verse 15. So this is after that sheer silence. God was the one who spoke first, breaking the silence, and gave Elijah new instructions. Remember, Elijah felt like a failure at this point. He had complained, "I am no better than my ancestors." He had wanted to be the one to turn things around, to get the nation focused on God again. But for all his effort, he looks around and he laments that things are no better than when he started. When God broke that silence, this is what he gave Elijah to do next. He told him to anoint two new kings, one over Aram and one over Israel, and to make Elisha his successor as prophet of the Lord. So soon the kingdom of Aram would cut into Israel's territory, mediating God's judgment of Israel for their idolatry. And the new king of Israel will bring some needed reforms. God's message to Elijah is, you are not a failure. This is not over. I'm still working. I'm not done with you yet. I have more for you to do. And now Elijah will not work alone. He will have a helper in Elisha. He will mentor Elisha and prepare him to continue the work when he is gone. So God gives him more work to do, a new assignment, and a partner for that work. Finally, and third, God gently corrects Elijah's distorted thinking. When God began to speak to Elijah on Mount Horeb, God asked a very simple and simple question: "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah just came up with all of his concerns in verse 10. He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." But just in chapter 18, Obadiah had told Elijah that 100 prophets of the Lord are hidden in two caves. Obadiah himself was a faithful follower of the Lord. So things were very bad. Jezebel did say she wanted to kill him. Many in Israel had wandered from the Lord. But Elijah, in his distorted thinking, is convinced that things are even worse than they actually are. He feels so alone in his struggle. Like, nobody has it as bad as he does, or no one could possibly understand what he is going through. Verse 18, God gently points out that there are 7,000 people in Israel who worship the one true God. Elijah is not as alone as he feels. God gently corrects his thinking. And the next verse has Elijah heading off to do what God asked. We don't hear any more discouragement or despair from Elijah. Notice that God did not become frustrated or impatient with Elijah's struggle, with his self-pity, maybe. The Lord met with him in his deep discouragement and very gently restored him by strengthening his body, clearing up his thinking, and giving him work to do and a new prophet to teach and to train. Before his death, Jesus said to his closest disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And then a couple chapters later, Jesus continues, A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So today I invite us to seek the restoration available in Christ for our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. Take heart. Jesus has already overcome all that overwhelms and discourages us. Amen.